My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 49. Hello, everybody. On every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, finding success as we each define it, and staying healthy and sane in the process. This is another park cast. We did a park cast last week, and I thought it turned out just fine, so I'm doing it again because it's nice to sit in a park and talk to all of you. So, every episode of Sonatotum, I like to start the show by talking about how things went for me creatively since I last spoke to all of y'all about a week ago. Today is September 2nd, 2020. It is Friday evening, right around 5:30. So, this was a release week on Tuesday, August 30th, my latest work, a short nonfiction book, Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure, was released to the world. I moved a few copies. I got to talk about it a little bit. And on Thursday, I wrote up sort of a debrief, which is something I like to do. Whenever I finish writing something and getting it out, I like to write up a little what it took to write article. I did it for my latest novel, Light of the Outsider. I did it for the follow-up novelette to that book, The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay. And it's just my way of sort of looking back and taking stock of what the process was in creating that particular work. So I wrote that up for Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure, and I will have a link in the show notes for this episode, episode 49, over there at mattselznick.com. I wrote that up. I got that out to my patrons and spread it around on social media a little bit. And last week of August, first week of September has been sort of a reset. I today spent some time looking at Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, the free serial that I deliver on a weekly basis to my mailing list subscribers. And you can also get that free serial fiction project delivered right to your inbox if you'd like. When you sign up over there, just look for the free fiction at mattselznick.com. And when you sign up, you will start with installment number one. So you start right at the beginning, you won't miss anything. And at the moment, there are I believe there are 75 installments. So you've got well over a year, like a year and a half worth of free fiction just waiting for you. I kind of sidelined writing new installments of Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights while I was working on Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure. And if you've heard of previous episodes, you know that the mission for September is to write very much on Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, to put a bunch of installments in the queue so that I have a nice buffer, because in October, maybe before, we'll see how much progress I make on Hazy Days in September. But in October, I'm full steam ahead once again on my next novel, Shadow of the Outsider. So today was just a little bit of getting reacquainted with Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights while I did a bunch of other sort of technical and just housekeeping stuff that I've been meaning to do. Spent the day in the public library, the air-conditioned public library, and it was kind of a free-range day creatively and productively, but I do feel like I got some things done, so I feel good. And gosh, the other thing. I had a special offer running for people who became patrons of mine at the $20 and up level. That special offer ended at noon Pacific time on August 31st, and it was a bust. Not a single person took me up on the offer to get $100 worth of ebooks, audiobooks, music albums, and music singles, all created by yours truly, for as low as $20. Nobody took me up on it, and nobody had taken me up on it by August 30th. So to be honest, I just stopped talking about it. I took all the promotion down on my website because at that point, if I had like one person sign up, I mean, I'd be grateful for that one person, but I'd have to do the same amount of work preparing the bundle of products as if 15 people had signed up. So I thought, you know what, if nobody has done it by now, I'm going to save myself some work. It would have been far more than $20 worth of work to prepare the special offer. So that's fine. Kind of nip that in the bud. I mean, you know, I still would have taken the pledge. I'll take a $20 pledge any day of the week. You are still very welcome to become a patron over there at mattselznick.com/BAPatron or patreon.com/mattselznick. You can sign up at the $3, $5, $10, or $20 a month level. If you sign up for $5 or above, you get every single digital product that I release for the duration of your patronage. That's ebooks and audiobooks and music, if I'm able to do some. Sometimes poetry, sketches. You know, I do a lot of stuff. And anything that I can convert into a downloadable digital thing, I do, and I get it to you. You also get uncut, unedited, complete versions of this very podcast, which is usually anywhere from 30 to 50% more than the public version, you know, which can be anywhere from 15 minutes to, gosh, one time it was like 45 minutes more content than the regular version. Yeah, I do have a Patreon, and you can you can become a patron. There are a ton of other benefits for especially $5, $10, and $20 level patrons. The $3 level is really just because you love me and I'm grateful for you. But the real benefits kick in at $5 a month and up. And that is pretty much the update for the week that was. In the coming week, I'm going to be, you know, apart from my normal client work and stuff, I'm going to be working on Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights. And that'll be good. So the topic for this episode, you know, I had kind of a wealth of things that I could talk about, all kind of inspired by discussions that I saw happening in writers' groups and forums in the last 5 or 6 days. But I think what I would like to address is the subject of your author's website. And I'm going to be talking about authors and writers, but I'm pretty sure that these points are equally valid for any kind of creator who is trying to build up a community around themselves and around their work in order to sustain themselves with a living as a creator, thanks to the ongoing and consistent support of the folks in their community. So one part of that indie author marketing infrastructure is a website. If you're an author, you have to have a website. And quite a bit of discussion was prompted by someone in a user group asking, on my website, on my author website, should I write things in the first person or the third person? You know, should it be sort of professional and distant and kind of businessy by writing in the third person, or should it be more personal and direct by writing in the first? This sparked a lot of kind of freewheeling discussion and pontificating by a lot of different folks of varying degrees and levels of success. And what I found interesting right off the bat was everybody had their own idea of what an author must do. And it came down pretty much 50-50 on first person or third person. Half the people, give or take, thought that an author's website should simply be about providing information about the books. Readers don't care about the authors. The other half was just the opposite. People like hearing about the author. People like learning about that stuff in addition to hearing about the books and learning about the books. Half the people were like, ugh, there's nothing worse than going to an author's website to find out some information, and there they are talking about their cats. The other half was like, I like it when the author shares some things about their personal life and gives us some insight into their process and things that aren't just sell, sell, sell. Well, my friends, you could probably guess where I come down on this this topic. I mean, if you go to mattselznick.com, it is, I believe, almost entirely first person. It's me talking to you, because I believe a website should be your proxy on the web. It should represent you when you're not there to represent yourself. And that's what I believe. I believe that it's more important to make a connection between the reader and the author, because readers who feel connected and invested in an author will feel more connected and invested in the success of that author. Because let's face it, if an author is successful and they're able to write more books, that reader gets to read more stuff from someone who's already written something that they enjoy. So that's where I come down. But that doesn't mean that that's necessarily right for everyone. First of all, everybody's got their own comfort level of how real they want to be, how vulnerable, how transparent they want to be on their website, how closely they want their online persona to match who they are in, quote, real life, unquote. People have as many reasons for choosing any point along that spectrum as there are people with websites. You know, none of us can speak for everyone. I advocate for being as vulnerable and transparent and real as possible in your online persona. In other words, have as little a persona as possible. Be as close to you as possible as you can. I advocate for that. But I recognize that there are people who maybe can't do that. Maybe they write erotica and they don't want the deacon of their church to know. So they use a pseudonym and they can't talk about where they live, because maybe they came out of an abusive relationship and they don't need certain people from their past learning where they are and how to find them and what they do. There are all kinds of reasons to not be 100% who you are when you're representing yourself on your website. The thing that I ran into, though, in this group was authors who thought that they absolutely did know, who spoke declaratively, who spoke with no room for argument or discussion. You should do this. You must do this. Never do that. And that's just bullshit. Look, I coach and counsel and train authors on how to be online, more or less. That's what I do for a living. If anybody was going to say, you absolutely should do this, you absolutely should not do that, it should be me. But I won't do that. Because anybody who does give you those absolutes when it comes to your indie author marketing infrastructure, anybody who claims that they have the answer for everyone, is full of shit. Because every relationship between author and reader is different. You cannot put everybody in the same boat. I mean, even just down to genre expectations, readers of certain genre are going to expect a tone that might be different from readers of another genre. Now, I think this would be awesome, but you might not expect the hard-boiled military veteran writer of military sci-fi to also have a blog on their website that talks about their pastry recipes or you know, I don't know, their needlepoint. You know, I'm using cliches and stereotypes here, but I think you get what I'm saying. The billionaire bad boy romance novelist who talks on their blog about how they spend their days as a bricklayer, you know, it, again, I think that would be awesome. That would show such a unique side to the author. There's a plane going overhead. Maybe I'll stop here. I think it would be freaking awesome if the, you know, the author with the unexpected life shared that unexpected or mismatched life with their audience. I think that would be so neat. But I am not one to say that they should do that, that everyone should do that. Here's the thing. I do recommend that you are as open and transparent and vulnerable as you can be in your presentation of yourself on the web, on your website, in your blog posts. If you can reveal personal things about yourself, then you're going to end up making a connection between yourself and your potential reader, potential members of your reader community, because people like to know that other people are just people. That's empathy. And vulnerability and transparency are engines of empathy. They are engines of connection. And connection is what we want. We want our readers to feel connected to us as authors. I mean, let's face it, it's nice. It's nice to be in community. It's nice to feel like you are among your tribe. But also, additionally, as well, speaking totally pragmatically, a reader who feels committed and connected to an author, they are going to want to see that author succeed. They may even do whatever they can to help that author succeed. Ideally, that means that they buy something from that author every time the author says, "Hey, I've got something for you to buy." But even if they don't every single time, you would hope that because that reader is committed to that author's success, because they like that author as a person, that they're going to tell others about that author's work, that they're going to share a link when the author asks, that they will be there in that author's corner, because this is the social transaction in the community relationship. It is transactional. All relationships are transactional. And in this case, it's I, the author, I'm going to make things for you that you've indicated you like. As I've said many times, make things for people who like the kinds of things you make. Well, those people, ideally, are the ones who are in your reader community. So your agreement with them is, I'm going to make things that you like. The reader's commitment is, I'm going to support your endeavor to make those things that I like. And because we live in a society where money matters, supporting that endeavor means buying the person's books. It means buying the author's books. It means reviewing the author's books on the websites where people buy books. It means telling other people about the author's books. It means acting in a supportive way. It's a value exchange. This is why I always say readers and authors are peers. So when it comes to your website, I mean, there's the kind of conversation you have with someone at work who maybe you don't know very well, or worse, the kind of conversation you have with a subordinate. And there's the kind of conversation you have with friends sitting around a table or in a booth at a diner. You should present yourself, and when I say should, I mean I believe that. You should present yourself on your website as someone who's willing to sit down at a table at a diner with your reader. And if it makes you uncomfortable, find that place that is comfortable for you. Make friends. with your readers, because you need them. Your website should be a place of welcome, not just an information dump, not just a place with buy buttons for your books. It should be your proxy. People should be able to come to your website and see you, not just your picture, but see who you are and understand, if they want, why you write what you write. I swear to you, it will make a difference. You will attract the people who want to stick around. You will attract the kind of reader who doesn't just like what you write, they like you. This is what I try to do. One rather semi-famous mid-list author who's been around for a long time, you know, went so far as to say that, you know, you should never have politics on your website. Again, never, never have politics on your website is what this author declared, which is, again, it's just stupid. What if you are a writer of political thrillers? What if you are a writer, fucking Christ, what if you are a political writer? You know, I guess in addition to a little riff on what your website should be like in the broadest possible sort of psychological, philosophical terms, I guess this is also a riff on beware of people who give you absolutes, especially when it comes to the juxtaposition of art and commerce. Beware of people who give you my way or the highway advice. They are probably speaking from their own experience, probably speaking from their own defense. It's funny, sometimes you can just sort of feel the projection in some author's advice that they give. And of course, we all do that. I mean, my stuff is all touchy-feely. That is a projection of who I am and who I want to be. But seriously, if you're a relatively new author, I recommend against taking everything that you hear as gospel, especially if what you're hearing is black and white. Always do this, never do that. It's not necessarily going to fit your situation. It's not necessarily going to fit what you write, who you are, where you are in your career, what you're trying to accomplish. In indie author marketing, there is no one size fits all. There is no one set of rules, one set of instruction. That's why I think sometimes my clients get a little frustrated because they'll come to me and be like, hey, you know, so-and-so wrote that I should be doing this, that, or the other thing. What do you think? And I know the author client, and I know where they are in their situation, and I know what they write. And more often than not, whatever sort of generic advice they got from whatever author out there that they got it from, almost never fits for that author. And I read their posts bemoaning their fate, authors who do follow the flowchart, the cookie cutter, the step A, step B, step C that other authors have recommended, and that then they've spent a bunch of money and they don't have anything to show for it, and they're discouraged and despondent, and we don't want that. We want creative people to support each other, and sure, giving advice is great. I give advice all the time. I give you advice every week, right? But if you're going to give the advice, recognize that your situation is not everyone's situation. If you're going to listen to advice, recognize that you got to filter it through and cherry pick what feels right for you and what works for you and what you can afford and all of it. It's got to be for you. And I mean, hell, that goes for me too. I'm telling you that I recommend that your website be in the first person, that it be more than just the facts about your books and buy buttons and click the mailing list and blah, blah, blah. I want you to be more personal. I want you to interact directly through blog posts and through just the tone of your website. I want you to interact with your readers and your potential readers. But you might not want to. Your thing, it might not fit that. And that's fine. If you were my client and you said, I really don't want to present myself as I this and I that. It feels self-important. It feels narcissistic, whatever. I don't want to do that on my website. I would give you all the reasons why I think you should. But look, if you're not comfortable with something, you're not going to do it. And if you do it, you're not going to be your best doing it. You're not going to be sincere. You're not going to come across as authentic. And if authentic and sincere for you is a website that is less touchy-feely than what I'm saying, that is less casual than what I'm saying, then so be it. That's you. We find other ways to connect. We find other things to do. I believe with pretty much everything I am that building long-term, sustaining, positive relationships with your reader community is the single best thing you can do for your long-term success. I could be wrong, but it's what I believe. But if that's not right for you, I'm not going to take your money as my client. I'm not going to take your money and force you to do something else. I will say this, you really do need to have a website. No matter what form it takes, you got to have a website. Otherwise, there are many reasons for that. And I talk about them in Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure. It might seem like this episode was sort of a wink-wink extended plug for my book. It's kind of the opposite. The fact that these discussions and these topics and these concerns keep popping up over and over and over again in the author community is why I wrote the book. And it's why I'm beginning, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm beginning to get a germ of what my next indie author marketing book will be. Because the same issues keep coming up, the same questions, the same concerns keep coming up over and over again. Because every week, every day, there's someone new who's just starting out. And that's where experienced beginners like myself, we have a responsibility to help. Whew. You know, I think I think that's it. I've been rambling on with you, speaking about this topic for the better part of 40 minutes. Might turn out to be a little shorter if you're listening to this on the produced version of the show. Of course, I'll mention just one more time, you can hear the uncut, unedited edition of Sonatotum when you become a patron for $5 a month or $10 a month or $20 a month. Each of those levels has increasingly awesome perks and benefits that you can find out all about at mattselznick.com/b-a-patron or patreon.com/mattselznick. I want to give a hearty, heartfelt thank you to my current exceptional and paramount level patrons, Ted Leonhardt and J.C. Hutchins, respectively. Thank you guys. Thanks to my other patrons who have pledged at lower levels. All of your help and support is so appreciated. It takes about, you know, between 4 and 6 hours to put together one of these episodes. And there's an episode every week. So, you know, it's a part-time job, basically, over the course of a month. And so any support is amazing and helpful. And patron support, which is actually monetary support, is especially wonderful because the time I'm spending on this podcast is time that I'm not spending writing. It's time I'm not spending helping clients or getting new clients. So it's an expense. It's one I do happily because I really like talking to you guys. And the show helps me sort of solidify my thoughts. And I believe there's some value there for you as well. If you'd rather not, or you are unable to become a patron, as always, there are other ways you can support the show. First of all, the best thing you can do is subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts so that you automatically get every episode of Sonototum as soon as it's released in the podcast app of your preference, whether that's iTunes or Spotify or Google Play or my favorite podcast addict. Subscribe to the show anywhere you get your podcasts. The other great way to support the podcast is by leaving a rating or review of Sonototum. Again, anywhere you get your podcasts, a 4 or 5 star rating, a brief review written in your own words about what you think about the podcast or about a specific episode really helps. When there are ratings and reviews, it raises the profile of the show in the podcast search engines, making it easier for people to find shows like Sonototum. If you have a comment about this episode, I sure want to hear it. You can send me an email at matt@mattselznick.com. You can record a little audio message on your phone and email that to me at matt@mattselznick.com. If you do the audio message, I will play it on a future episode of the show and respond to it there. If you would like to simply leave a comment in the show notes for this episode, episode 49 of Sonototum, you can do that. Just look for episode 49 of Sonototum at mattselznick.com. You're part of the community I'm talking about. You're part of my community because you're listening to this show. Subscribe, comment, get on the mailing list. Join the community at mattselznick.com and get your free fiction, a new installment of Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights every single week, and be part of the mailing list community and get my updates and thoughts and news that way. Communicate with me that way. Finally, for folks who have listened all the way through to an episode, I like to offer a special discount on some of my services. I've been doing this, I think, almost since I restarted this particular iteration of Sonototum back in June. Basically, if you've listened this far, I'm going to tell you about a way to get discounts on some of my services. And I have been like providing you with specific coupon codes and whatnot every single episode. For simplicity's sake, from now on, here's what we're going to do. If you go to mattselznick.com/listener-love, you'll see a page there that tells you all about the current discounts and offers that I'm running when it comes to my services. So just go to mattselznick.com/listener-love. That link is just for you, folks who have listened all the way through on an episode of Sonototum. Normally, podcasters are like, tell everybody about this link and tell everybody about that link and go to this link and that link. That link is for you, dear listener, as a thank you for hanging out, being with me every week and listening all the way through. Since we're talking about websites, I will include a deal for a basic website. That'll be one of the things that I offer a little discount on when you go to mattselznick.com/listener-love. That offer might change in the future, but for now, here we are, first week of September. That's one of the things that'll be up there. Because you need a website. And if you need help understanding what your website should be, how it could best reflect who you are and your work and what you want to accomplish, I can help you with that. Okay. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.